So to go to the Beis Yosef, Simon Kufnun Dalit. So again, this is on somewhat of the list from the note in Kufnun Gimel, where it says that these only apply during time of the Gemara, but don't apply today. But we have to figure out why it doesn't apply today, and then how that would, and by understanding why it doesn't apply today, we also understand what does actually apply today. So, Kuf Nun Dalet, both Sif Aleph and Sif Beis, we'll just do it, we'll stick to within the page of Shulchan Aruch. So both Simon Aleph as well as
so
both
in the Shulchan Aruch?
Yes, say in the Shulchan Aruch. Just go to the Shulchan Aruch. I think that is sufficient for this. Yeah. So he says here, "Avodas Kochavim lo tiyav li Yisrael l'sveinu l'veinu, v'afilu im hi mumches v'chein v'afilu im hi mumches." So one shouldn't have a non-Jew be the midwife for a Jew when they're privately together, even if she's licensed, even if she's considered an expert. V'chein lo tanik l'vein Yisrael b'veisa, v'afilu achem omdin al gabe. So too, you shouldn't trust a non-Jew to nurse the Jewish child, even if others are standing nearby, because these are a concern about danger. So one can understand why this might not apply anymore, b'sman hazeh. But aval b'veis Yisrael muteres liyalid olahanik im achem omdin al gabe. In a Jewish house, you would permit a non-Jewish wet nurse to nurse a Jewish child, right? As long as somebody's coming in and out, and one doesn't leave her alone by herself. So that is Sefal. There is a Gemara in the Sefas Yevamos, right, that discusses whether there's an issue of eating non-kosher, of being fed from non-kosher. The milk was produced by eating non-kosher. Is that perhaps a problem? I have a chance to look down and see how that fits in here. But this line in the Shulchan Aruch only seems to be relevant to the issues of safety, as opposed to the issues of kashrus. The more interesting one is Sif Beis, where it says Yisrael is that a Jew lo tanuk levent ovi kochavim afilu b'schar, that a Jew should not nurse a non-Jew even for payment. Elim Cain ish lachalav harbe umatzaris osa muteris lanika. Unless she has a lot of milk and she's in a lot of pain, and therefore that's what she would want to nurse. Meaning, if it's for our benefit, so then it would be okay. Right. So, what is the concern there? So, if one looks in the Mishnah itself, this is quoted from a Mishnah in Masechus Avodah Zarah. So, the concern is that we shouldn't be in the business of promoting the growth of Ovdei Kochavim. Right. You're eating the growth of non-Jews. So, however, then he turns around and says, "V'lo tiyal ovdi kochavim, nor should you be the midwife for non-Jews for the same reason." El im kain he yadua lemilda lemialedes sha'az muter, unless it is known that she is a midwife. Meaning, if she is a if they publish Philadelphia's top 50 midwives, right, and she's on it, so for her to then pick up the phone and say, "Oh, but I only do Jews, I don't do non-Jews," so not only will that be erase her from that list, but also cause significant challenges, right? So the Gemara says that's Mishum Eva, that because of the concern of not great relations, as a friend of mine put it, Sakanas Nefashos is there's a danger that the person has a knife and is going to stab you right now. Eva, the concern is that he doesn't have a knife right now, but he might get a knife and stab you down the line. So that concern exists, that we don't want to establish that. But then he adds in V'dafka Bischar Uvechol. Now, dafka, you can only go ahead and be the midwife, or that's not even really being the midwife, it's more than being the midwife. It's really talking about being the delivery doctor. Is that a midwife? Is the midwife and the doctor the same thing?
No. Nowadays they're using more midwives, but they can.
Midwives to do the delivery?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay. So it's really talking about the person being the deliverer, whether that qualifies as the midwife or the OB or etc. So it says you could do it, A, that it's known that she is a doctor / midwife / nurse, vidafka or / EMT / somebody who knows how to do these kinds of things. Vidafka bishar, dafka if they're paying you, not if you're drunk, that's not what it means. Dafka bishar. No. It means if you're getting paid for it, uvachol. And also dafka during the week. Why dafka during the week? Because there's Chil Shabbos involved. There's some place along the line of delivering a child, there is some amount of Chil Shabbos that takes place. So the idea is that you can avoid Eva by doing that Eva would not be a problem if these, unless these three conditions are filled. Right? If it's on Shabbos, a person can say, listen, I don't work on Shabbos. In fact, more than that, the Gemara itself says, what are you going to do about Shabbos? Isn't that going to lead to Eva? So the Gemara says, Abaye, explain. No, it's not so complicated. You just explain to the person, listen, I'm Shomer Shabbos, and Jewish babies I'm willing to help out for them to be born on Shabbos, because we have a mitzvah to save the life of Jewish children, but we don't have the mitzvah to save the life of non-Jewish children. And that will be readily understandable to all non-Jews. That's the way the Gemara seems to explain
it's
it.
Just like a doctor. I mean, a doctor may have a non-Jewish patient.
The simple halacha here is that a doctor could easily explain, it will be understandable to anybody in a hospital or a patient, that, he saves Jews, he doesn't save non-Jews, and I understand that. So some are a little suspicious that will actually be successful. So let's hold up. All right, so we'll go to this. Let's just finish up this line here. And then he adds in one more line, one is not permitted to teach an Ove Kochavim, a non-Jewy job. And then you have, again, one of these half moon with two stars, right? Parentheses with two stars, at least that's the way it's in my Gemara, to another one of these anonymous lines. I don't know who wrote it. Rabbi Cohen, do you have any idea who wrote this anonymous line down here?
Which?
Right? You see at the end there, there's a.
Garza Ashri Sham Vivashalmi.
No. There's a notation. In my Shulchan Aruch, it is
Shema Yitla.
It goes to the bottom and says Shema Yitla Ovi Kochavim Oyamus Vialilu Al Yisrael Shehaya Imo Biachid. The concern is that the non-Jew is going to be injured. Yichal, they're going to be injured or they're going to die. And because the non-Jew is alone with the Jew, they're going to blame the Jew for the death or the injury. Right?
I don't know who's the
old. Yeah, so I don't know either. You're not alone, Rabbi Cohen. The mystery continues. You gotta figure out who added that in. So that is the halacha in Shulchan Aruch. A Jewish woman could be a midwife, or the same would apply to a Jewish doctor. In theory, one should not be involved with the A, birth, B, nursing of non-Jewish children, because that helps them in the Avodah Zarah. But that doesn't sound so great. I can't help you because this baby's destined to be a Ovei Kochavim, and we don't like Ovei Kochavim. So that's going to lead to an Eva. The concern is kind of like a either misayeya type din. I don't want to help this baby one day go down the road of Avodah Zarah, right? But if that's at worst, that's only a din d'rabbanan. So for the case of Eva, we can push that to the side. The idea of payment is, I only work for money, though. I don't do this for free. I only work, so if you're willing to pay me, I would do it. And to say, I don't do it unless you're paying me, that would be understandable to a non-Jew. And furthermore, the assumption of the Shulchan Aruch here, at least, is explaining to them that I don't work on Shabbos on behalf of non-Jews is also going to be understandable to them. Right? Nowadays, it's not so understandable, and that was a famous news issue, I don't know, 7-8 years back. Okay, so
this last part about not teaching as an umnus. Could have wider implications if you're teaching.
Right, it could.
Teaching any illness.
Right. So it seems to be that.
Why would it be here if it's a general?
This is discussing issues of hilchus of yichud with non-Jews. So there's been a couple of halachos here about making sure that you're not alone with a non-Jew. That's the teaching. So that's the concern. That's what that notation said. That the concern is that if the person becomes sick or the person dies, so the Jews are going to be held responsible because they were alone together. That's what it sounds like. So comes the Piskei Tshuva here. I think this is a pretty prominent Piskei Tshuva. It quotes a Tshuva from the Chassam Sofer. Well, first he quotes from the Be'er Heitiv. What did the Be'er Heitiv say? So he quotes this idea we just said. You see the Be'er Heitiv, Dalet? Let's start with that. Right, Bechol, says, Aval lo b'Shabbos. Don't do it on Shabbos. Why? Deleika Eva. Plus, there's no Eva, as I explained. The Yechol Olomar, which you can say, Nishedi Dun, Dimintere Shabsa Machalan Alayu Shabbos. Dilhu de lo Mintere Shabsa, lo Machalan Bishvilasa. That for our woman, who it's mutter to be Machal Shabbos for, we'll work on Shabbos. But for your woman, who are not permitted to be Machal Shabbos for, we're not going to work on Shabbos. That's what the Be'er Heitiv says. So the Piskei Tshuva here quotes from the Chassam Sofer. Simon Kuflamid Aleph. And Al Odos Pekidos Hasar the Piskei Tshuva.
Yeah, I understand that, but we're
Bays.
Oh, right, the Chol again?
Hmm?
The Chol.
Yeah. So he quotes that Be'er Heitiv, which we just saw. And then it says, I am the Tshuva's Klam Sofer Simon Kuflamid Aleph. Odos Pekidos Hasar Ba'aretz. Togar al kol ha'iros v'hakvarim lahaskir lehem miyaldus b'ki asher lamdu lifnei chachmeyim davka. That there were a whole lot of sections where they wanted to, where they would, it sounds like they would put sections, boroughs, under the jurisdiction of particular midwives or particular doctor, and they who were went to school and went licensed, or who were licensed. Even though there are others that were experts. But they specifically wanted to her because she passed the test. Right? She had already passed her medical boards, and therefore she's the official doctor for this jurisdiction of cities, or towns, or provinces, or whatever it is. So it's a Jewish woman asking the question if she's allowed to do this. Right? But she's the only one. Now, there were places where the only person that they could find to do this job was a Jewish woman. Is she permitted to do this? Is it birth babies? Is that a verb? Is it permitted to deliver babies? That's the word. Whether on Chol or on Shabbos. Vehishiv, and we answer me. After sheishlam kama chayos bekios b'lav halchi pasha tishari afil levo time of the eva. So they say because there are others that are able to do it, therefore it's mutter for you. That's why I said before. Why? Rabbi Cohen's looking at me. Why should that should make it worse? It shouldn't make it better. So he explains. I think what the pshat is. Is that the concern of the mission is you're the one person. So if you refuse to deliver this baby, so what's going to happen to the baby? The baby's going to die, right? And that's not necessarily a terrible thing, because the baby's destined to be an Ovid of Adazar. That's what the mission says. But here, there's plenty. So as we discussed in other contexts, the issues of Lifnei Iver is really only if you're going to be the one that's going to be providing the soul service. But if you can get it from somebody else, so the issues of Lifnei Iver fall away, and therefore this woman says, because the other people that are possibly around that can do it, even though they want me, because I'm the licensed one, but others could potentially do it, so the issues of Lifnei Iver and Misayeya fall away, even without the Eva issue. That's step number one. V'chei Masher Kasuv Ha, not sure that is, Rav Beis Yud be something over be.
It's not Beis Yud, it's not.
Yeah, I'm not. But over Bedek Habayis the Ramban, I guess that's it. That's what he asked the Chulei. The Lehilka Sayish Lismo Ha Ramban the Ovid Uvda Benafshe. Right, the Ramban did himself. Halacha Lamaisa. Right, the Ramban was a doctor and he treated non-Jews as well. The Yimkim Nido Nidan. In our case, Mutter Afilu B'Shabbes. It would even be Mutter to do on Shabbos, but my delay spay Chilul Shabbos. As long as you don't do something that is Chilul Shabbos, the Hainu B'Yosheves Alamashper Shekfar Akar Havlad. That they're sitting on the birthing stool and the vlad is already like coming out, so you could help bring it out. For omnam lachto ha, let's say tabur, the umbilical cord, the cut umbilical cord shumalachas do raisa. Right, that's going to be a problem. That you should instruct the non-Jew to cut. And if by doing so they're going to say, what are you doing? And that's going to lead to Eva, so maybe we'd even permit you to do it on Malacha D'Oraisa. But it sounds like it's more than just Eva. Meaning if because of this Eva that actually is a Sakanas Nefashos, right, there's a lot of implements and sharp implements in that room, and his baby is being born. So we would even permit to do a iser a melacha d'oraisa. So this comes up. I mean, this not. So first of all, the Chassam Sofer is passing. What's he passing? He's passing a halacha l'maisa that this halacha that you're not allowed to assist a non-Jew because certainly when there are other doctors around, so you're not in violation of lifnei iver misayaya, so he says it's mutter. What about on Shabbos? So on Shabbos, you're permitted to take part in it, plus the same iva issue would apply. He seems to be ignoring, I don't know what he says in the official tshuva, I didn't look up the official tshuva, but at least here on this page, he seems to push aside the idea that, oh, they'll understand the difference between Jews and non-Jews. And the Chassam Sofer says, no, you could even deliver it on Shabbos. However, you should avoid doing in Melacha D'Oraisa. What Melacha D'Oraisa is there involved in delivering a baby? So cutting the umbilical cord. I'm not sure which Melacha D'Oraisa that is. Machu Mepatish. It's hard to see I'm not sure what Melacha D'Oraisa it is, but it sounds like it's reasonable to assume that there's some Melacha D'Oraisa involved in cutting the umbilical cord. I remember
blood, or could it be a Shiloh
Tzoveya? Oh, maybe it's Tzoveya, or maybe blood. But even Tzoveya has to be, it's hard to see how that would be Melacha D'Oraisa. Meaning Tzoveya.
Before you cut the cord, there's already blood.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to cause more blood. Maybe it's shochet. Shochet is probably more. I mean, tzoveya is... It's hard to know what the advantage is. I mean, tzoveya has to be for a good purpose. It's not clear what the purpose of that blood would be. But maybe shochet, right? You're letting the blood go now, which maybe shochet would fit in. All right, there's a list of malachas that one can figure out what the... There's probably a malacha d'oraisa that you're going to be able to cause the stick. So that is... that's the issue here. I had, in a way, the opposite question. One of our kids was born on Shabbos. Shira, right? Shira was born on Shabbos, right? And we named the baby that afternoon, which is very exciting. That way we could call the relatives and say, the baby was born, and this is the name, and we're done with it. One call per family member instead of two. And the doctor asked me whether I wanted to cut the umbilical cord, right? That's the kavod, I think.
Well, you should cut
the... Yeah, that's the minhag. They asked the father, they had the umbilical cord, they said, here, you want to cut the umbilical cord. I didn't cut it. I think there might be a needed issue with it. I think to stay away with it. But on Shabbos, I actually thought that maybe I should dafka do it, because... it's somewhat reasonable to assume, I don't remember who the doctor was, it's reasonable to assume the doctor could potentially be Jewish. If you would know that the doctor is Jewish, so I think Rosh Shlomo Zalman has some Torah in Shmir Shabbos Behilchosa, where he says that it's better for a religious Jew to be Mechal Shabbos than a non-religious Jew to be Mechal Shabbos in a Sekanas Nefashos incident. Because the non-Jew, why is the non-Jew being Mechal Shabbos? They're doing it to earn a paycheck. Right? A religious Jew is not doing it for the purposes of saving a life. So to save a life is mutter, to earn a paycheck is not mutter. So maybe it's better for the religious doctor or religious Jew to do it over the non-religious Jew. I had such a hafamina that I was still somewhat queasy anyways, and that kind of tilted the scales on the other side. Okay, so that is the issue of the Jewish Yoledus. Okay. Kufnin Hey shows up. We're running low on time. Okay, so Kufnin Hey shows up the issue of being just a regular non-Jewish doctor. Is there an issue with a non-Jewish doctor? So I'm going to just read the Shulchan Aruch and we set the stage for other things. So this is also based on Mishnah Maseches Avodah Zarah. And it says, "Kol makah v'chol eishiyish behem sakana shemachalim aleihem Shabbos." So any time that one is ill, has an illness for which one, which has a sakana for which one would be mechal Shabbos. What does that mean? So that's a code word for that the person is in life danger, right? That's what he's talking about. Ein misrapim me'ovei kochavim she'enu mumchel rabim. So one should not get, one should not use a non-Jewish doctor who is not a mumchel rabim. I mean, if he is just a regular doctor, it doesn't mean that he's not licensed. He's a regular doctor, so one should not use him. So what is the feeling here? Because he, a non-Jewish doctor, might be tempted to let the Jew die and or not use his full treatment in order to treat the Jew. Because, and then he'll just say, "What do you want from me? He was about to die anyways, and I didn't do anything." So that's the concern here. So immediately, many point out that, well, first of all, if he's a mumcha rabbim, he has what to lose. And the Shach also adds in aval mumcha, Shach Gimel adds in aval mumcha dahainu uman lo mar umnase, that if this is his job, so he won't want to ruin his job, he won't want to ruin his parnasa. And that's the general heter for using non-Jewish doctors as manazet. That if not just with regards to the danger of using it, which the Gemara, which Shulchan Aruch slides away, and the further Nosei Kalim slide away from even more, but also the nemanus of a non-Jewish doctor. Right? Often, I've had this experience, both both personally and communally. Sometimes you have to speak to the doctor to find out information. So, does a non-Jewish doctor have nemanus with regards to relating information about a patient? So, we assume that the answer is yes, because if there are ways of checking up on them, and if they are found to be not less than honest, so then they would lose their license. I mean, they have what to be afraid of, and therefore we can trust them for these purposes. Shulchan Aruch even says it. The chayshin l'shvichas damu. Right, because we're concerned that they're going to kill. V'afilu hu safik chay safik meis in mesafim imen. And even if it's a safik, whether they are alive or whether dead, meaning they already are on the verge of dying, still you shouldn't use them. About imhu vaday meis, unless he will for sure die. But if he will for sure die, unless you use him, so mesafim imen, you would be permitted to use him. The chayisha lo chayshin b'ahav. Because for chayisha, we're not concerned here. So this is actually extrapolated to be a major, major issue. And that is, and we're not going to have time to get into this this week, but that the issue, what did he just say? That if you don't know whether the person's going to live or let it die, so then let it be, don't use the non-Jew. Okay? But if you know that they're going to die, the only possibility is that you have to use the non-Jewish doctor to save him, so then you'd be allowed to use him. So what is this? What is that formula that's being used? So if we were to take out the characters and just use the terminology, we have somebody who is going to die soon. He is what we call a chayisha, is going to live for a short while, and using a non-Jewish doctor, some of them are good and some of them are not good. So the using the non-Jewish doctor is an example of a suffik refuah. He is suffik better. So the suffik goes in two ways. He could heal the patient, or he could kill the patient. So are you allowed to sacrifice chayish, possibly sacrifice chayisha, living for another hour, living for another 2 hours, living for another week, in order to do a surgery or some type of procedure that on one hand could save the person's life and they'll live the old bud, or will kill them, right? So you're risking some amount of life, putting that on the line, putting that on the table to possibly get better, but also to possibly die on the operating table. And this is the main symptom for that. So that, all of a sudden, we realize that. So maybe it doesn't apply with the characters of the non-Jewish doctor anymore, but that formula obviously plays a major role in medical things today. The Nishmas of Ram has much to say on that topic, so I guess possibly next Monday, if not the Monday after, we'll get back to discussing this.
So yeah, there was an attorney, the general, the guy with the beard without the mustache.
Coop.
And he was involved in a famous case involving a Jewish...
With the Siamese twins. Yes, that is a famous case.
He was consulted with all the rabbis.
Yeah, the Ravosha, yeah.
Yeah.
He said he wouldn't do anything unless he got a statement from a rabbi.
That was a more advanced case than this.
I'm just saying it's an example of a non-Jew respecting.
No, that's assumed. I don't think anybody. I've never gotten the shaila of can I go to this non-Jewish? That shaila has been put aside because we have medical boards, we have insurance, we have all these different things that exist today as safeguards. But the simple question of but some things that are learned out from the sugya have a lot of application. Well, nice today.